When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I can see I've already pissed people off with the wins thing. I got a couple of tweets. Phil's going to talk about it in a second.
I got one to tee up for when Marco comes back in here.
Okay.
So, like, let's say the situation, because I'm with you pretty much on all of this.
Yes.
Definitely much more than I'm, again, like, you know, that I would side with Marco and
right.
his nonsense.
I'm sure there's tweaks to everyone's opinion. I haven't really given it a ton of thought. I'm just open to the idea of changing what's gone on here.
Right. Like, so how about the situation where, you know, let's call the DeGrom, if we need a name. Pitcher goes, and Marco's talking about length.
Right.
What if a pitcher goes 7 or 8 innings?
Right.
A reliever comes in and blows it to the point where, like, you're now losing. This reliever did not do his job at all. You're up by one. He came in his one, or even he didn't even finish the inning. He gives up multiple runs. You're down.
Right.
Then the team comes back and wins.
He gets the win.
Or someone else. Like, so we're saying that starter, because the bullpen blew it, is ineligible for the win. Like, that one never made any sense to me.
Or like a closer will come in and blow a save. The team will rally and score in the bottom of the ninth or whatever, and they get the win. They get the blown save and the win. And he was big on do your job. Well, he literally blew his job and got rewarded a W. Now,
that's why I'm open to your idea, because so many of the pitchers who get wins anyway, I would love to say perfect world, do your job, get the win. If you don't do your job, you don't get it. But if it doesn't go to that starting pitcher, there's a chance it's going to somebody who did not do their job.
Correct. So now that's a different one, because I didn't even think of like, your scenario is 100% correct. We're arbitrarily giving, like, you're focusing on the idea of guys didn't do their job and still get wins, so it's hard to make the argument, oh, do your job, you don't deserve one.
I just think it's evidence to indicate, like, hey, well, if the official score had it more often than not, we'd probably get a better result on the scorecard.
Right. Now, I didn't think of, like, a starting pitcher who leaves and then the lead changes and stuff. Like, I would still think you'd have to never be losing while you were out of the game, but maybe you're right. Maybe I'd be open to that too. But yeah, the idea,
pokes holes in the do your job, because then it means not do their job and they're getting rewarded.
You're 100% right. In the do your job element of the argument, I agree. But now I'm just focusing on, like, because I think we're mainly talking, you're right, 100%, but we're mainly talking about the idea of pitchers no longer going the required 5 innings for a win.
It could be as simple as changing the threshold from 5 innings to 4.
Right.
Which, is we all hate it.
Yes.
We hate it a lot with baseball the last few years.
Right.
We hate it until the rule changes. That stolen bases were mostly gone. We hated what the shift did to everything. We hated the low. We hate all of it.
Right.
But, you know, almost like with the rule changes, you kind of have to then meet what the front offices and players are giving you, because you were right about this one. As much as we can't stand that these players, from the point when they're in high school to then they're in the big leagues, they're told, hey, if you pitch 4 shutout innings, even if it took you 100 pitches, you did your job. Like Sean Manaea, Gary Cohen said he looked mad today.
Yeah.
You know what, Sean? Don't need 100 pitches to get through 4 2/3.
Right. No, 100%. And I think, there'll be the occasional pitcher who's upset by it, I suppose. But like,
that's their job,
right? And then also, once his agent tells him, like, yeah, listen, no one's paying you on wins anymore. Like, we recognize that the stat is just like you're not going to get 300 wins. You know, no one's gonna rave about you getting, you know, however many. It's about how well you pitch.
And this is where the oldest crowd can blame the thing, the word that they hate the most, because it was the analytics crowd that figured out, hey,
wins aren't.
This is how it helps the team win. We don't care about the individual pitcher and their stats.
Absolutely. And I mean, and we've seen since, you know, wins don't matter. And when it comes to Cy Young voting, like, nothing, it just doesn't matter anymore. And so I'm open to change. If we really care about putting a win next to the person who deserves it, I think we should open it up. And if you go, oh, well, 4, why not 3? Why not 2? Yeah, I mean, I suppose why not, but what's the likelihood of pitching 2 innings and still being deemed the best pitcher on the mound that day? Like, you would still have to hit a requisite, like, ability before they would give you the win. Like if you
they could make that the rule, and the score is not giving it to the starter who pitches one inning.
You could just say without any sort of rule, four innings, three, whatever. It's completely up to the official scorer who gets the win. You're not leaving that game in the second inning as a starter in any good shape, unless it's an opener. But even then, you probably won't get the win. There's so many innings that take place after it. So it wouldn't matter.
Once in a blue moon, you pitch one inning, your team scores 9 runs in the bottom of the first and wins easy. So they're close. Okay, there were no high-pressure situations.
Right.
It would maybe happen through all baseball teams once or twice a year.
Yeah. I think leaving the win open to interpretation is something that, because it's just happened so many times now. Luis Gil, they bring him with the opportunity to get a win. Like, that is such an outdated, antiquated argument. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, it just doesn't. No one cares about the win. Nobody.
And if you looked back, looked back on that game, okay, which pitcher in this game was most impactful towards the win?
It's clearly the starting pitcher who gave up 1 run in 4 2/3. Like, yeah. It's silly. And I wouldn't care about it if it wasn't for all the complaining I see and all the people, he was an out away from a win. No one cares.
And he was a hit away from the team maybe losing the game.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right. 877-337-6666. Phil in Manhattan. What's up, Phil?
Yes. Good morning. You know, the practice of assigning a specific pitcher a win or a loss is so obsolete now. Mm-hmm. It should just be abolished. It'd be like assigning a quarterback in a football game a win or a loss. I mean, it just doesn't work anymore. I have to totally agree with you on that point. It's irrelevant now.
Well,
wins
are irrelevant, and the idea that you have to go 5 to even be, available to get the win, when every other pitcher can go literally get one out and be qualified to get the win. I just don't understand it. And the fans react as if wins are still as important as they were 15, 20 years ago. They're not. Well, no one cares. No one's going to get 300 wins. These special numbers are never going to be reached again because of how baseball is played today and the amount they go to the bullpen and the way they treat pitching and the 100-pitch maximum and all that stuff. We're never going to see a big time. We're not going to see many 20-game winners. We're not going to see many. And we're certainly going to see no one ever get 300 wins again.
Right. The game has changed. I couldn't agree with you more. Mm-hmm. And the idea of assigning a specific person a win or a loss is almost laughable now.
I know.
Really.
I don't even think we need it. I totally agree. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand Marco's point that you want to. It's about winning the game, of course. It's not about which individual person gets the win next to his name or the loss next to his name. Like, that was old baseball. It doesn't have to be anymore. But say it does, I'm open to keeping a winner and a loser. I don't care necessarily whether they have a winner or a loser. But if we're going to have a winner or a loser, I just think it's silly that we all have to feel bad for the starting pitcher or pissed off at the manager for making the right baseball move at the right time in today's game, in today's day and age, and taking a pitcher out on the ropes with 4 2/3 inning, even with a lead. Even with a significant lead, why would you want to see a 5-run lead turn into a 2-run lead? You know, with runners with bases loaded and 2 outs in the fourth, and your pitcher clearly at the end of his rope after 100 pitches, when that's what they've been trained to do, throw 100 pitches. Oh, he should be able to go more. We don't ask them to go more anymore. This isn't the days of old where they typically went 120, 150, whatever. And now, hey, well, listen, you should be able to get through. We don't ask them. We don't train them. They don't coach it. From the beginnings of when they start pitching this 100, their entire careers, they've been saddled with 100 pitch minimums. It's not their fault. It's how they've been trained. Right? It's a little bit like a horse race where it's like I don't know about the Belmont. He's never ran a race that long. We don't ask these pitchers to pitch that much. But then in the game, it's like, well, he should have been able to do it. If you want the win, go do it. Well, he doesn't train anymore to do it. We don't ask him to do it. We take him out every time he gets close to doing it, win, loss, and whatever the case may be. And now all of a sudden, oh, man, geez, did you have to do it right then and there? You cost them the win. Yeah, what do I care about the win anymore for? No one cares about the win. And I just think it's silly that an official scorer isn't allowed to include or take into account a starting pitcher if he doesn't go five, but yet the reliever who comes in and gets two outs is possible to get the win. He's in the mix. Why is the starting pitcher not at least in the mix if he goes four and a half, four and a third, and gives up no runs? It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. And it bothers me that people still complain about it. Understand the game is changing. We're never going to see it again. You want to talk about a record that'll never be broken? We talk about, no one will ever hit. You know, no one will ever get 56 games in a row. No one will ever play this many games in a row as Cal Ripken. Blah. You want the 100% lock of all locks, unless they change this rule. The 100% lock of all locks is no one will ever win as many games as Cy Young. There is no other. Someone might hit 150 games in a row before someone hits 500 plus wins.
If you don't see a rule change, I don't know if anybody who starts their career now or had in the last years will get to 200.
No, you're right. Yeah. So it's no longer special. We'll never have a special moment. Like, the wins are just gone. And we can cry and bitch about it on the overall scale. That's fine. But on a nightly basis, you're really going to take him out? Oh, one out short of qualifying for a win. Who gives a damn? Nick in Franklin Square. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how are you, Chris? How's everything?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. And you know what? I just want to talk about the wins and losses. I agree with you 100% right now. The perfect example was the other night when who was pitching for the Mets? The new kid, the rookie.
Buto.
Buso? Buto. It was how many walks were in that game?
Yeah.
He pitched well. He got out of trouble in multiple innings.
Yeah.
They took him out. They took him out in the fourth. He deserved to get the win for that game. I think so.
I agree. And listen, Manaea, he gets into the situation. I think it was in the second inning, bases loaded, nobody out. He was off. He had poor command of his fastball. He was battling. He gets into a situation where, and that was really the turning point of the Met game last night. Forget this conversation for a moment. Bases loaded, nobody out. He works his way out of it, and then Lindor, who had a great game with the two home runs, hits that home run in the next inning and gives them a 2-run lead, and that was really the change and shift of the whole game.
Exactly.
From that point on, if Manaea holds the lead, I almost don't care how many innings he goes. To me, he's the winner of the game.
Exactly. And Buto, he got into trouble almost every single inning, the first, the second inning, and he got it and got himself out. And then, for him not to get the, even a decision is... It's wrong. I agree with you 100%, Chris.
Yeah. And it's just not – and it's that he's not even eligible for it. When that's clearly the best pitching performance of the day, or someone who's the most impact in winning because he got the most outs by a mile and they're not even qualified for it. And ultimately, even that, I don't care because I don't care about the wins. But we still bitch about it as if it's an important stat. It's not. We talk about batting average being diminished in today's game. The wins are so much more diminished. No one cares. They're completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. It's the last thing you would look at. And that's a different, like, in a lot of the, fans of baseball would, like, say, even go back to the 80s, 90s. Forget, the 50s and 60s. But what kind of season did he have? What would be the first thing you'd look at? Well, what was his record? He went 17-3. He had an amazing year. Oh, Ron Guidry went 21-3, or 23-1, whatever it was. I think it was 21-3. Ron Guidry goes 21-3 in 1978. What an incredible year! No one would even, if you said right now, how's the pitcher doing, or what kind of year did the pitcher have last year? Would you even look at his wins? How many numbers down the line would you get to before you said, and he had 12 wins? I mean, last year Blake Snell won the Cy Young, right? And he's notorious for not going deep into games. And he's obviously a scratch. And we'll get into that too, because he's a story right now, considering the way. Now, the Mets starting pitching has been okay. They haven't gone deep into games at all. the Yankees starting pitching, when you look at their ERAs and their numbers, have been pretty damn good. So I think avoiding Blake Snell for all the money it cost them seems to be a pretty good idea. But last year, right, Blake Snell won the Cy Young for San Diego. He went 14-9. So he won five more games than he lost. Did that even come into, did anyone care? When you say, why did Blake Snell win the Cy Young last year? How long do you get before you, how many numbers do you give me before you say he won 14 games? He had a 2.25 ERA. He had a 185 ERA plus. He led the league in home runs per nine, hits per nine with 5.8. He had 234 strikeouts. He had a 1.189 whip. He gave up 115 hits in 180 innings. Only gave up 15 home runs. All of those numbers. He had a 2.3 strikeout to walk. He had 11.7 strikeouts per nine. Less than a home run per nine. Led the league in walks, though. All of those things are all said before you give me 14-9. No one even asks. No one cares. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Matt, good morning, Dan. How you doing this morning, sir?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. Since you're on sports grievances, I got a sports grievance that I want to put
to you. All
right,
I like it. Sports grievances. But, what do you got? What's your sports grievance?
But before I get to it, I just wanted to add to what you were saying with this whole wins thing. You know, the funny thing about it, two things about that real quick. The funny thing about it is, sometime later on in the season, like, you know, around like August, September, something like that, you're going to see a middle reliever or a closer or something like that, a late innings guy come into the game, and you're going to see when they put their stats up as he's warming up on the mound before he starts up,
yeah,
where they put two wins or three wins for him. You're looking at him like, this is a bullpen guy. What are we talking about with wins? All you care about is what his ERA is,
right,
and, you know, things of that nature. Nobody even looks at that stat for him. So it's like you're giving him the win. And later on, when you flash it at me, we don't even care about it because it doesn't apply to him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're spot on with that, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know? That's always been the case with relievers, necessarily. But you're going to see relievers get more wins. You're going to see relievers have a lot more wins than in previous years because the relievers come in and are the pitcher of record a lot more than ever.
And to your point, too, later on, you hear them try to justify their stats when they want to big up somebody like a Snell or a pitcher that has like a high ERA but a high win total. Later on in the season, you'll hear them talk about how many games that he started that the team actually won. And they kind of like totally discount whether, you know, the whole how many wins he actually has. Because then they flip the discussion to, well, the team wins when he starts. Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. So it's a whole bogus conversation as it is right now anyway.
Yeah.
But my sports grievance, since you're bringing them up, you know what I'm saying? I got a sports grievance for you.
Yeah.
And then I got one other thing if I can get into it. But the sports grievance is, you know, it's funny how, and I this is not one that really applies the way you're talking about it, because you're talking within the rules and the official score and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is like, and I hate, you know, it's 3-something in the morning, so most of the world is not going to hear this. But it's funny how, like, we beg for team spirit. We beg for teams, you know, and I've been preaching this from since the beginning, telling everybody that I can, you know, the Knicks, some of their parts, their team thing. Somehow, though, when we get that as fans, for some reason, we always try to turn it into a soap opera. I say that to say this. You know, it's funny how, like, I was saying it to you before, you know what I mean? And then it came back now where, like, I even heard some of the callers yesterday were starting to kind of like, you know, speak to it a little bit as well, too. The fact that my man Jalen is having the problems, and as a team we're having the problems that we're having, even though we're getting our wins, but we're all looking at how do we get the next one. The fact that he's getting the struggles that he's having is starting to show up as to, you know, when we talked about the fact that the team was built around the two-headed monster of him and Julius Randle. And, like, even when we – it wasn't that we were throwing our hands in the air and saying, well, we can't do this or we can't do this without him. But we understood the difficulty that just got increased once he's taken out of the equation. The same thing with, like, Soto and Judge now. I can't understand why, you know, people always try to turn the conversation into whose team is it? You know,
yeah,
like, you know, which guy is the biggest superstar? You know, I even heard people intimating, like, now all of a sudden, and you're going to see, I've been saying it to you before, it's just a matter of time for him to get his time in, but he's going to come through.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Now that everything has started to twist and change, all of the conversations you were hearing before kind of are starting to stop. But you were hearing things like, does Judge feel a certain way because Soto was getting all this shine out?
Of course.
Like, I don't understand why we always have to create the soap opera where there is none. Yeah, like, why can't we embrace the whole idea that we have mucho stars on the team and we need all of our guys? If we, like, as soon as it starts to go right, we flip it and try to break it down. Like,
yeah,
I get it.
Because Judge, because the people were reaching and clutching for straws on why Judge was struggling, because he's never struggled, or at least this pulp. This famously certainly started a year, because he's probably had a 3-week stretch this poor. He's just, it's just been in the middle of the season, and he had already hit 25 home runs, and so nobody noticed it. But, yeah, but I understand your point, and they're going to do it because the idea of Soto's contract and the conversation the Mets are going to try and get him, and, you know, what he's the difference that we saw certainly early on and less so now, but of how it impacted the team right away and everything. But make no mistake, Val, you might hate the argument, and that's fine, but I'll give you the answer. This is Aaron Judge's team. They might, they might love watching him hit in batting practice, Juan Soto, and he might be a great teammate. Today he was messing with one of the coaches and putting sunflower seeds on his back. I'm sure he's one of the guys, and he's beloved. Him and Glaber are getting haircuts at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have no doubt he's hitting up the Ranger games and the Knick games. I'm sure he's having a great time. I'm sure his teammates love him, and I'm sure his style of intensity and force and focusing and battling every pitch was probably needed in some ways from this team, and has impacted them and has been a real big positive. And he's great, and he's fun to watch, and we're all enthralled with him because we want to keep him. This is Aaron Judge's team. He's the captain of the team. And make no mistake, I'm not, you know, trying to say anything outlandish. I think everybody would have said this last year, but we've had 3 weeks and we've got our eyes on him. And Aaron Judge is the better player. Aaron Judge has been the better hitter. Aaron Judge has had more home runs, more RBIs. I mean, they've pretty much over the last few years had the same batting average. The on-base percentage, his OPS is better. Juan Soto gets on base more. Judge impacts the baseball more. Judge hits more home runs. Judge has been the best hitter in baseball the last 3 years when healthy. Juan Soto plays every day. Juan Soto gets on base more. Juan Soto gives you fun at bats. Juan Soto's a great Hall of Fame player. And Juan Soto's going to get paid more because he's hitting free agency 5 years earlier in his career and in his, you know, life. But make no mistake, this is Aaron Judge's team. 2022 happened. This entire team watched him become Superman and have one of the great offensive seasons we've ever seen, one that Juan Soto has not come near. This is Aaron Judge's team. We don't have to like the conversation, and I'm not going to try and make one out of it, but it's just, that's a fact. Alex Rodriguez was a better baseball player than Derek Jeter. Sorry. And when Robinson Cano was at his best, he was a better baseball player than Jeter was at that time. Jeter wasn't always the best player on the team. It was his team. He was the captain. It was his team. Judge also happens to be the best player, but he's the captain, and it's his team. And it's imperative that he gets going. And I agree with you. The signs we've seen over the last couple of days makes me think he's about to get hot. And what we saw with Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Rizzo all hitting home runs in the same game is something, I don't care who it's against, that's something that we needed to see, and this offense has to get going. And hopefully, Aaron Judge, for me, is still the heart of the lineup. And once he gets going, him and Soto going at the same time is going to make everyone better. They're going to score runs. They're going to be able to mask some of the problems that, by the way, hello, here's a little secret. Every team has. He's going to be able to mask the problems at the bottom of the lineup by doing extreme damage in the middle. The team cannot be what it's supposed to be with Aaron Judge hitting 160. And hopefully that's no longer going to be the case. But this is Aaron Judge's team, and Aaron Judge is the best player on it.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It's their 27th World Championship. The most of any team in any sport in the history of professional sports.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so, yeah, 341. Mets and Yankees both won last night yesterday. It was a good win for the Mets. We've talked about it a little bit. Manaea doesn't get the win, but had a game where he really didn't have it but was able to battle through. And the offense, clearly with the story of Lindor. And for me, that was the moment, that the second inning where Manaea loads the bases, gets out of it with a couple pop-ups, and then Lindor hits the home run. And in the top of the third to give them the lead there. That's part of that, that skill this team seems to have, like that bounce back nature in the moment where it's like, oh, they just got off the hook and boom, they come through with the home run. And he obviously has a monster day, two home runs from the left side. We have four hits in the game. And you like to, the last one was in the ninth inning, but still, there's no such thing. I think the meaningless home run gets overblown. But you're looking for Lindor to break out. Big game from him. And it's the difference between a three and three West Coast run as opposed to a 2-4 and a 4-game losing streak heading home. I think that's a good win. The offense has struggled here. You can chalk it up on some level to excellent pitching, as Glasnow and Webb are two of the best pitchers in the National League, at least in my mind. Glasnow has the stuff. He's had trouble staying healthy, and you know, I don't know if I'd put him there as ace level. I think he's got ace stuff though. So at any given day, I mean, that's how good he is. So you get shut down by two excellent pitchers. You face a bullpen as Snell gets scrapped right at the start of the game. Or at least I'm sleeping, so I think it was like right before the start of the game. But that was, you get into a bullpen game, and you had to score some runs, and they did. And they come through with a good win, and 3-3 and a couple of games over 500 feels a hell of a lot better than heading home to take on St. Louis off of winning the first two games of a West Coast trip, losing the last four, coming home on a 4-game losing streak, and back to 500. That was actually it is a little bit of a swing win, where you feel a hell of a lot better. Plus, Lindor breaks out. You're still waiting on some, you know, Nimmo is really struggling. He gets his walks, but he's been struggling. But ultimately, the offense breaks through a little bit, scores some runs. Lindor has a monster game, particularly from the left side. The bullpen continues to come through. And it's a much better day today than it would have been if it had been a loss. It was a good, solid win. They split a West Coast trip, which is, you know, not terrible, but not great. And you avoid the long losing streak. And you stay a couple games above 500. As you get ready to take on St. Louis and Chicago for the next seven games at home. The Yankees beat up on the Oakland A's. Score a bunch of runs. Judge is snapping out of it. And you really, for both teams, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for Lindor and for the Yankees, Judge, to snap out of it. And you got a little bit from both. And Judge obviously gets the break of the balk call before, if you've seen it in the game. He gets he gets struck out on a fastball looking. And then there's a balk called, and he gets another opportunity. And the pitcher throws the exact same pitch, only worse and higher. I can't believe he came back with a fastball in the outside corner. I just can't believe he came back and threw the same pitch. And Judge goes the other way with it, hits a hard line drive over the short porch, had a hit earlier in the game, and just looks to be coming out of it. Just the last 2 days, his swings feel so much better. And that's what you're looking for, home runs from him and Juan Soto, and then Rizzo's coming through with power, and hopefully he can turn into something again in the middle of the lineup. It's cold. You're hoping he comes and warms up, and those three guys all hitting home runs in the same game makes you feel better about this offense. And I know it's against Oakland. Well, they just got shut out against Oakland in the first game of the series. So I don't care who it's against. The offense is coming around. They've won now two in a row, and they have one more game to win the series later today. I'm losing my mind. What's his name? Clark Schmidt. Thank you very much, McMonagle. You dope. Clark Schmidt comes through with a decent pitching performance. He gives up the home run and skews the line a little bit. But you know what? This starting rotation, I think that's a talking point, too, for the New York Yankees here. This starting rotation has been really pretty damn good. And as Blake Snell has been awful, awful for the Giants, and now is hurt. And everybody screamed, oh, the Yankees don't care about winning. How are they not signing Blake Snell? How are they not giving him this money? It's just money. I don't care. The rotation's not ready. The rotation stinks. You're short a pitcher. How can you do this? And yet you look at it, and Luis Gil has been, when he's not too wild, I mean, he's got dominating stuff and has been really good. Nestor Cortez, after a shaky start, has been downright filthy his last two appearances. Rodon has been great. And Stroman, besides one start, is steady Eddie and gives you six solid innings. Five, six solid innings every time out. Like, you got to feel about as good as you can about this rotation right now. The bullpen has been hurt by injuries and is a little shaky, and you're still figuring out who you can trust. The lineup, clearly, having been shut out four times and really Judge, hopefully now coming out of it, but doing absolutely nothing, and the bottom of the lineup doing nothing, and Gleyber Torres being awful, finally gets a hit last night to break a 0-for-23 stretch. The lineup's been an issue. The bullpen's been an issue. But this starting rotation that was deemed the weakness of this team, and they didn't care about winning, and owner only cares about chicken buckets and money, and that's all he cares about is selling tickets and selling chicken and beer. And Cashman's a dope for not signing Blake Snell. Well, Blake Snell's been awful, and now he's injured. And this rotation's done an excellent job. So just keep that in mind the next time you're sure the Yankees don't know what they're doing. Okay, that's all. I've scolded you enough. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Roberto in Rahway. What's up, Roberto?
Good morning, Christopher. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you. I like Christopher. In all seriousness, I think Christopher is nicer than Chris, but I don't impose on people and say, call me Christopher.
Again, appreciate the call. I'm actually calling. I have 2 points for you, if you could indulge me.
Okay.
One of which, not sure why, but what is it with WFAN not really getting into the whole hockey talk? I listen to the radio station throughout the day.
It's the NFL draft.
No, the draft I'm cool with. Okay. I'm talking about like the constant baseball talk and the micromanaging of the teams and the moves and the hypotheticals. You got two New York teams at the moment battling it out in the playoffs, respectively, against their own opponents.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Rangers doing good. The Islanders are kind of struggling. A minimal conversation on the radio station, just kind of curious to know why. I laugh about it, but you know, it's such a great sport and it's hot right now.
Well, listen, I think if you listen to me, certainly I know I've done baseball the last few minutes here. I opened up with the NFL draft. The Rangers didn't play last night. I opened up with the Rangers and the Garden last night. We've tried to do it. We've talked our hockey, but I mean, if you don't, it's just, even in the playoffs, it has its moment, especially baseball plays. It's in my mind still, I know a lot of people disagree with me. I still think baseball is the sport of the city, and the NFL draft is enormous. So it's just the Knicks are a hotter story right now than hockey. And I'll just tell you right now, if you want to know specifically, I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'll be quite honest with you. I opened up with the NFL draft and doing a couple of different things, and I got some calls, and then I made an argument about Major League wins, and that lit up the phones. So you want to know I'm saying, if you want to know why, it's because of the reaction of the fan base, and that we've done studies and we looked at it, and when you talk hockey, less people listen.
Understood. All right. Okay. Well, you actually touched on my second point again. I'll hang up and listen. A lot of conversation about the Jets, what they're going to do, maneuvering, offensive line, different positions.
Yes.
My question to you, and again, I'll hang up and listen. If the quarterback is sitting at 10 and the Jets have an opportunity to grab one of these kids, throw him on the bench, watch Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years until he leaves, and then, you know, put him in after Rodgers goes, Why isn't this a conversation that's happening?
Because it's...
And again, thank you for your call. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Roberto. I was going to have a conversation with you, but if you want to just hear, I hope you hear me loud and clear, Roberto. Because it would be the dumbest thing the Jets could possibly do. That's why. Because the Jets aren't about building for the future. The Jets cannot take their biggest asset, which is a first overall pick, a first round pick, a top 10 overall pick. They cannot take that pick and have it not impact Aaron Rodgers and this team. They can't. Other franchises might be willing to do it. I understand that. I do. I understand that. Other franchises who have a quarterback at the tail end of their career might be willing to do such a thing. And I might even incline to agree with those other franchises. But the New York Jets, no, sir. The New York Jets have to win. And I can't take the biggest asset I have in helping this team next year and put it on drafting his predecessor, the next guy. I can't do it. I can't build for the future with this first round pick. If I love a quarterback in the third round, if for whatever reason, you know, Bo Nix falls to the third round, I can't imagine in a million years he would. Or what's his name? The other quarterback with the S. I can't think of his name. Losing my mind. Spencer Rattler. If they really like him and want to draft him in the third or fourth round, I'm open to that on some level. I'd still rather not even do that, but I certainly can't take the 10th pick. I don't care what they think of these quarterbacks. I don't care if Caleb Williams falls to 10. I don't. Honestly, I don't. I have got to give Aaron Rodgers the best chance to win this year. That's my only focus. My only focus. I am not worried. My guy Eddie, who calls all the time, and I have other guys like, Chris, don't you? I mean, who's going to be the quarterback for the Jets? What are you going to do in 2 years? I don't care. I'm focused on these two seasons with Aaron Rodgers and specifically this one. I don't even know if a second one's coming. This year is the most important year. As far as I'm concerned, this is how I would treat it. This upcoming season is the most important season in the franchise's history. That's how I would treat it. This season is the most important season in the history of the New York Jets. They have got to win. They have to win. So I'm getting someone who can block for him. I'm getting someone who can get open for him. That's all I'm doing. I'm certainly not drafting the guy I'm looking to replace him with in a couple of years. Absolutely not. That might be what's best for the franchise moving forward. Other franchises might be in a position to do so. Not the Jets. Not off of 13 years of losing. Not off of being, you know, and this really isn't hyperbole. Not being the laughingstock of professional sports. I can't. I have to change that narrative. I have to change the feeling around this team. And I have to make my decision to go get Aaron Rodgers a fruitful one. I have to. Real quick, Brian in Yorktown Heights. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, Chris? Thanks for having me on. You make the overnights go a lot better.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I know this was like a half hour ago, and I hate to beat this thing into the dirt. Yeah, so, you know, we were talking about wins and how kind of useless that statistic has become and everything. And, you know, there was a stat that came about. I think it was a sports writer back in the mid-80s. You know, he came up with this quality start stat. It means starting pitcher goes six innings or more,
right.
Gives up three runs or less.
Yes.
Right? Now, you never hear about that stat anymore. Never. I mean, that
very,
just doesn't
very
come
rarely.
Up. Right? Very rarely, yeah. So I don't understand why, whether it be an agent or the teams themselves when guys are going to free agency or whatever, why this isn't more of a concentrated thing that these guys are looking at. I know a lot of starting pitchers listen. I know. They don't go a lot more than five.
They should be focusing more on quality starts?
Quality starts, yeah.
I mean
that's more rare than anything else. And you get to that point, you're pitching six innings or more. That, to me, is more valuable, giving up less runs. And listen, you give up three runs in six innings. I know it's still a 4.5 ERA, and I get it.
Yeah.
But in general, you're now getting more out of your starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And that, to me, means he did his job a lot more than somebody who might get a win, even for, let's say, going 5 and a
right.
third.
I actually think you're you're more right than you think. And I think, I bet you that quality starts come up more in arbitration. I bet your quality starts come up more in contract negotiations than wins do, without question. I think people view it as you view it, as a more valuable stat than wins. I don't think there's any doubt. And yeah. And when you say pitchers shooting for it, and I'm sorry, I'm up against the break, Brian. When you say pitchers are shooting for it, I mean, that's just a byproduct of pitching well. I don't think in their minds they're like, oh, I want that quality start, or don't take me out here. I'm an out away from a quality start. Like, I don't think it's gotten to that level where we still kind of do that with wins. I don't think anybody's like, I can't remember the last time a broadcaster said, oh, and here comes the manager, and unfortunately for him, he's an out short of a quality start. Like, so we're not at that point yet with it. It's a byproduct of pitching well. But there's no doubt that statistic is definitely used in arbitration. That statistic is definitely used in negotiations. And that is probably viewed by most baseball fans and most baseball, you know, followers and people who follow. That is much more valuable than wins, without question. Without question. So I think you're right. I think you don't even I think you think there's an issue that doesn't exist. It is more valuable. It's just not a prototypical stat that we've grown accustomed to for years, and we don't. You know, it's not on Baseball Reference necessarily, right on his page. And you can't go to Who Leads the League in quality stats right from the reference page. Although you might be able to these days, I don't know. But quality starts, yeah, I'm on it. I do not see quality starts as one of the things on Baseball Reference. Game started, saves, innings pitched, DRA, home run against, blah, whip, blah, blah, blah. No quality start. But no, there is no doubt when looking at someone for Cy Young, when to give him a contract, all those things. I definitely think quality start is up there higher than wins, among a million other things, which is my point. And that's what makes certain pitchers different. You know, we saw Logan Webb. I think he's a guy. I don't know about Glasnow just yet. I think that was a one. I'd like to see him go 7-8 innings more often. But that's why, you know, Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole, because he goes 7-8 innings on a regular basis. Most pitchers don't do it anymore. Most pitchers don't give you quality starts. But it's just another statistic that I don't really care about. I care about it because it's a product of good pitching. But certainly wins. And I certainly don't want to hear the fans complain about pitchers being taken out just shy of a win. No one cares anymore.